good afternoon. How are you?
Oh, I couldn't be any better. It's great to see you, Aaron, as always.
And talking about just sort of political issues in general, because Board of County Commissioners just had its meeting where you discussed the legislative agenda for the year 2017, and that has happened in the context of the General Assembly being real active on a bunch of different issues, none of them necessarily related to what Orange County wants the General Assembly to be focusing on. But let's start with gerrymandering and partisan gerrymandering, because that's been our issue for the day. We had Alicia Brown here in the studio talking about the lawsuit that's going through the courts right now challenging gerrymandering on partisan grounds, which if that gets to the Supreme Court and they strike down gerrymandering, it would be the first time they've ever done that, but they have left the door open for it. So that's certainly a possibility. There's HB 200 that is theoretically working its way through the system that would move move the redistricting power from the General Assembly to a nonpartisan commission of legislative staffers, but that's not really going anywhere in the General Assembly. How important is this issue?
I think it's critical, and North Carolina is really ground zero for sort of the hyper-partisanship and the use of gerrymandering to really cement that kind of hyper-partisanship. And so what we've seen, you know, I think in the legislature is no lack of accountability, right? There's no risk for legislators in taking extreme actions, and there's no incentive for them to have to cooperate with their colleagues across the aisle. And so as a result, you know, what we end up with is the situation we find ourselves here in our state. We are the only check on legislative excess are the courts, and that's where we find ourselves continuing to turn. And I think, you know, going back to even Amendment 1, when that was passed, the response from then Speaker of the House Tom Tillis was, well, if the courts take care of it, that'll be fine. You know, and he even anticipated that it would be overturned within within a couple of years. So, so legislators are not unaware that they're taking extreme actions and that they might be struck down by the courts, but they continue to do it anyway because there's no political risk for them because the system is so badly gerrymandered.
And in the context of this debate, and I read somewhere, and I wish I could remember where it was, because it was a really insightful point, that democracy, sort of the basic idea of democracy, hinges not just on the fact of having free and fair and open elections where anyone can run and anyone can vote and anyone campaign and say what they want, but also those elections have to be meaningful and significant. You have to be able to get people to the polls and vote in a meaningful way that shifts the balance of power. And what's happened in North Carolina this decade, and this has been the case in several other states as well, you had a Republican sweep election in 2010. You had a big Democratic year in 2012. You had a big Republican year in 2014. You had a year in 2016 where it was kind of half and half, and literally nothing has changed since 2010. Regardless of which party does well in the election, the balance of power remains exactly the same, which makes it difficult to say that North Carolina is in fact a functioning democracy. We've got elections, but they're almost meaningless.
And I think that's exactly right. And also what that ends up doing is alienating people from the political process. I mean, even if you are able to get to the polling place and cast a ballot that's going to be counted, if the sense is it just doesn't matter because of the way the legislative district or commissioner district that I'm in, I mean, people just, they are disaffected. And, you know, the paranoid conspiracy theorist in me says that's exactly what folks hope will happen. So that's, I think you're exactly right. I think it's, you know, it's not just that the election process functions well, which we've seen that attacked too, but also substantively, it has to be meaningful.
Speaking with Mark Dorison again, Board of County Commissioners, also with the UNC Center for Civil Rights, and sort of putting on that hat and talking about the court case that's making its way through challenging partisan gerrymandering. We had Alicia Brown on the air earlier today. Obviously, she's the lead attorney on the case, so she's confident she's going to win. But how do you feel about this case? Do you think if and when it gets to the Supreme Court, which presumably it's going to fairly soon because there's that other case coming through Wisconsin as well, how do you think the court's going to end up ruling on this?
I think it's going to be incredibly interesting. I mean, some of it will depend on the seating of the Ninth Justice, but I think Justice Kennedy has made some indications about the process. I think the issue has been before the court, not directly, but in various forms, and there were a number of split opinions. So I think the sense of frustration or the frustration of the democratic process that you just described, I think there's a broadening consensus that that's what's happening when elections are so hyper-partisan and gerrymandered to promote that hyper-partisanship. So in these times, I'm trying to stay optimistic. So I would say, I am guardedly optimistic, but I think that's the change that we need to have.
And again, speaking with Mark Dorison, and in the meantime, a lot of bills are going through the General Assembly right now. We talked about Senate Bill 75, which is the one that would actually put it to the voters in the fall. And would it be this fall on the November ballot, or would they wait until 2018 on this for the constitutional amendment to cap the state's income tax?
I think it would be in 2018. Referendums have to be on even-numbered years.
Okay. So everyone going to the polls presumably in 2018 for that. But this is a bill. It passed the state Senate yesterday. It's going to the state House. This isn't anything that Governor Cooper has the power to sign or veto. So if it passes the state House, it goes on the ballot. And it would cap the state's income tax at 5.5%. Was it Colorado that did this as well? And is the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights or something like that? But there have been other states that have tried this, and the effect has been that it does, in fact, cap the state's income tax. It prevents the state from raising taxes beyond that level. It also makes it very difficult for the state to pay for things without then turning around and raising sales taxes, which tend to be regressive more than progressive. And the other concern, too, is local governments, more pressure on you on the Board of Commissioners to raise property taxes, which I know we're all going to love if that ends up being the case.
Yeah, and just to go back, it really ties in with the point we were making about this, kind of this hyper-partisanship. Mm-hmm. Is what you see is in North Carolina, Republicans who have this supermajorities are now looking to enshrine these very conservative policies in the Constitution. And part of the strategy of doing that is so that if they do lose power at some point, that it will be much harder for Democrats to change, these policies or the policies in the state. And it's, these attempts to amend the Constitution, the legislation designed to strip powers from Governor Cooper, it's all like gerrymandering, it's all about, changing the rules, like changing the way the game is played to create unfair advantages.
Mm. And sort of going along those lines, there's a bill in the General Assembly right now, and you were telling me about this earlier, so I'm learning about this for the first time, that would redistrict the city of Asheville, or is it Buncombe County?
No, it's the Asheville. The
it's
city
Asheville,
of Asheville,
right?
That's right. There's a bill that I think it was introduced today to require the city of Asheville to create electoral districts, and if they don't do it, to allow the General Assembly to create electoral districts. So, we see another example of the legislature really reaching down to control and constrain local governments.
What would be the effect of that in Asheville, do we know?
I don't know, but I think, the idea, presumably, is that it will ensure some, in this case, I presume, some conservative mm-hmm. representation that whoever drafted this legislation believes is not there.
I can imagine, and I think of Asheville in the same sort of basket as Chapel Hill and Carrboro, in the sense of, well, we've got at-large districts in Chapel Hill and Carrboro. I can't close my eyes and in my mind picture a districting process for either of those two towns that would lead to significant conservative representation on the town council one way or the other. And I'm not sure what Asheville is like.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we've in the county, we've wrestled with this issue, mm-hmm. And there was a time when the county commissioners were elected at large. There was a change made several years ago. So now we have this sort of hybrid district system. And the commissioners are actually going to be talking at a work session in March about changing that even further to make it a more traditional district system.
To go like full district one, district two. I was going to ask about that because what we've got right now is everyone elects, like it's at large essentially on election day in November, and then the districts get to choose their own party nominees, right?
That's right. And I think that's an odd hybrid model. I think it would be much more fair if, given that we have a district system, that those districts elect those representatives.
Yeah, exactly. I'm actually glad you brought that up, and that you're going to be talking about that later on this month, right?
Yes, I'm very excited about it, and I know it's been an issue for a lot of folks in the county.
That's really good. Again, speaking with Mark Dorison, Orange County Board of Commissioners, orangecountync.gov is the website if you want to find out more about goings on in the county. Mark, I got to let you go in a second, but I'll leave the floor open to you. What else is going on with Orange County government that people ought to know about?
Well, the biggest thing remains, the biggest issue that folks are concerned about remains the Durham Orange Light Rail project. You know, we have an accelerated timetable as a result of deadline imposed by the Federal Transportation Administration. That deadline's the end of April. So everyone in the county, commissioners, staff, in Durham, commissioners and staff, Go Triangle, are working to get all the information that folks have been looking for, so we can fully evaluate the plan and have a meaningful vote on it at the end of April.
I gotta ask before we let you go, how do you gauge, and as a county commissioner, how do you gauge, and you can talk about this with light rail or just in general, how do you gauge public opinion on an issue like this? Because you can get, I'm sort of thinking about this because I'm talking with my students in American government about public opinion and the way that local officials and state and national officials react to public opinion. It's very difficult when you could get 1,000 letters in the mail from people, but that's still less than 1% of the people in the county. So what do you do when it comes to that question?
Well, we get a lot of them. You get your email, you get a lot of calls, and you listen to comments from, during public meetings. But one of the things I also try to do is just in sort of non-specifically county-related conversations with folks that I know, bring these issues up. So obviously you're going to hear from the people who are most significantly concerned about an issue, but I think what's important is to talk to folks who maybe aren't coming to the county commissioner meeting to talk about light rail and say, what are you concerned about when you're thinking about the county? What do you think the priorities are, over the next 6 months, 2 years, 5 years? And that, I think, is also a good, is a really good indication of what people are concerned about and what they're paying attention to.
And also, I think people who come to you and talk about education issues or things like that, oh, that's great. What do you think about light rail as well?
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's also helpful in promoting the idea, which I feel very strongly about, that so much of this is interconnected. Mm-hmm. And so, when you're talking about any of these, how does it impact, like you said, so we're talking about education. How is that influenced by or impact these other issues?
Again, orangecountync.gov is the website. Go there and find out more. Mark Dorison, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Always good to see you, Aaron.